This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Back of the Nest Match Report. I'm your host Mike and I'm joined by Nick Gillard and Chris Clark to look back over a difficult Saturday afternoon trip to Anfield. Yes, hello everyone. Hardy souls of you that want to listen to a Palace podcast after we lost 3-0. We'll get on to the fact that it probably wasn't a 3-0 kind of a game though, was it? Gents, Nick, you okay?
Yeah, I'm just a bit annoyed that the pod that we tried to record 17 times after a 3-0 win hasn't worked, and this one no doubt will.
Yeah, that's all on me, isn't it, to be honest? So, huge apologies to everyone. We would have got that out, and basically all I can say is that we were beating Spurs 3-0 before it was cool. So, apologies there. Chris, you okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Knackered, to be honest. It was a long journey to Anfield, as will come out as we talk about it.
Yeah, well, before we get to that, let's just talk about Palace news this week. The under-23s, absolutely nothing bad about losing 4-2 to the Manchester City under-23s in their incredible stadium. If you've seen it on TV, if you watched the Man City women's game on the other night, a lot of lower league teams would be very jealous of that ground, and I think even I'm quite jealous of it. Actually, 2-1 up at half-time. Street and Rakitić with the goals. But then 4-2 overall. They scored 3 in the second half. So that is a shame, but a noble effort. And let's be honest, they did win the league last year. Slightly better news. The League Managers Association gave the Spurs win the performance of the week last week. I don't remember ever hearing that we ever get that kind of thing. Maybe it just was something that Palace don't usually mention too heavily, but I was quite impressed. And the other thing is that the home kit has been delayed right back until October. I know some people are incredibly pissed off. Even more than that, the ladies' fit shirts and various other types of the kits, they still don't know when they're going to be around. So I'm sure some people are slightly annoyed to spend £55.
All you need to do is stand in last season's kit and lean.
that'll be a good compromise for the people that have spent £55. When you spend that kind of money, and that is a lot of money for a lot of people, for most people, it is annoying. But it's special times, isn't it? Apparently, meat's going to run out in the next couple of weeks, let alone Puma shirts, so probably not a lot they can do. It's quite amazing that they've got so many replenishments of the third kits, which are sold out so many times, to be honest. But if that's the biggest drama this week, then nothing too bad. So this week, the under-23s, Friday night, Friday the 24th, are going to be playing West Ham away, assuming that's on Palace TV. And then Saturday midday, the under-18s are playing Southampton, so we'll let you know how those go. So that is Palace this week, other than to say e-tickets apparently are going to be given out to people that don't have the season ticket downloaded into their wallet by Tuesday morning. apparently. So anyone struggling, that looks like the club have found a way for people to do a slightly old-fashioned version of getting your ticket for Brighton Monday week.
Just on that subject, Mike, Liverpool fans had a lot of trouble getting in. People who managed to get in the first week weren't able to get in the second week. So it's not just Palace that are having problems with the tickets. Just, you know, just to let people know that it's not just us.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was thinking about it today when I was reading the email sent out about the tickets. You know, once they've got this working, there'd be no excuses if it happened again. But it's teething problems for a very new technology. For something at scale, it's fine paying for your coffee with it, but suddenly when you're trying to get 25,000 people into a stadium, it's probably going to take some teething issues to get through. So let's leave that there and let's get to the Liverpool game. Let's say we're not going to go over the specifics in the same way we did for the Spurs game before we scrapped the pod because it didn't record properly. We'll keep it sort of light and breezy. There's no point boring everyone with lineup discussions and that kind of thing for a 3-0 defeat. But we'll start by talking about Chris. Tell us about your road trip because you went with DR in his Audi, didn't you?
We did, which was a lovely vehicle, and he's a very diligent driver and was very understanding of my desire to keep myself refreshed on the road, which I successfully did. The thing I will say, though, is
what did you do for toilet breaks?
We took a couple on the way. We went to services. I mean, poor old Nick had to tie a knot in himself at one point.
I was going to say, any urine out the window?
No. Okay. He did kind of park right next to the entrance, didn't he? Dashed in and dashed out. Because DR went by the ways and didn't kind of realise that Waze can't predict if there's going to be accidents on the M6 toll road or anything. So you always add an hour or a couple of hours to whatever the journey time says. Needless to say, we got into the ground at 25 past three. So, but there you go. You live and learn.
Well, yeah. Are you still counting that as seeing every, if you manage to see every game this season, Chris, if you see all 38 league games, are you counting this as a full one, are you?
I must admit that that did cross my mind. Does this count? I'm working on the basis that it does because I was at the ground. I mean, we travelled. When you take into account, it took us 5 hours to get up there and about the same to get back. So I think 10 hours travelling, it probably counts to the record. The other thing I wanted to say with regard to the journey is we did set up a playlist, which I think we should share that actually because it's really diverse actually. Yeah, because you've got Nick adding his tunes, you've got me adding mine, you've got DR's, and we've got Nick's son Will adding to the tunes, and it did make for an entertaining and educational journey. So I think we'll probably try and share the link to that playlist with this podcast.
Right, so if you want to listen to some 80s electronica, followed by some drill, followed by some really moody acoustic indie, we have got you covered. Right, well, I'll just cover the first few minutes of the game then, in that you probably missed it. And I don't imagine it was the kind of game you particularly wanted to watch the highlights back of too intensely. Zaha had an excellent chance very early on, which was tipped I was stunned that it wasn't over the line, tipped away, beautiful chance. And then from the corner that came from it, Benteke was called offside, but I think if it had gone in, probably would have been very close. Early chances, and I think what that will sum up as we go through is that Palace had their chances. They had 13 shots overall. Obviously lived by 25, but it started brightly and dared to believe. We'll get into how you thought of it when you arrived at 25 minutes, but apparently you went for a pint straight away and it was a very reasonable £2.80, according to the show notes. To me, that's much more than very reasonable.
I couldn't believe it. It's about half the price that I normally pay when I'm at an away ground or at Palace. So, yeah, there had to be some upside to getting stuffed against the run of play, but, you know... Yeah, £2.80. I couldn't believe it.
Well, kudos to Liverpool for that. I don't remember 280 anywhere. Fair enough. I don't really know where you want to start with this. Let's start at the fact that I think at 1-0, it very much looked like we were still in the game. You had the chance for Edouard. You had Zaha, what seemed like being brought down in the box. We'll get to Andy Madley in a little bit. But Palace played well, did they not, Nick? You said your overall thought was we looked assured, and you compared it to the Chelsea game. So just talk us through what you thought for the last 65 minutes plus stoppages of the game.
We took the game to them. We weren't afraid to take the game to them. Compared to the Chelsea game, we just sat back and Chelsea pressed and we weren't able to do anything. But we were well in it. Liverpool fans after the game came up to us and said how impressed they were with us, particularly Tariq Mitchell, who had their winger in his pocket, which is very unusual. The name's completely gone. It always does with me. As soon as I get on a podcast, I'll be rubbish on a TV quiz because everything just goes out the window. Who's the Liverpool winger, Chris? The really good one. Salah.
I'm not good at quizzes. Either Salah, yeah.
Mo Salah. Liverpool fans were very impressed with Mitchell.
Don't you hate that, though? When you get one of the big six, like, patronisingly telling you after the game, oh, you played well. Does that not piss you off?
A little bit. I mean, we had a bloke in the service station on the way back, and all I wanted to do was say, look, why are you driving out of Liverpool? Why aren't you supporting your local team? You know, but there you go. That's another little bugbear.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
We played very, very well. Were it not for IU shot when he should have passed it. He had two people on him. Edouard miscontrolled a ball in that he probably should have scored. And then he was through on goal and got fouled three times before he got a shot away. The ref...
There's a lot to dissect there. So let's just get back to the IU thing. What I was thinking about that, and let's get your thoughts on this, Chris, is that a sign of Vieira trying to do things differently? And even more than that, is that Edouard is clearly a shoot-on-sight kind of a policy kind of a man. Is that spreading to the rest of the team? Or is it just a different way of doing things and we're not used to it? We're used to Benteke playing off a pass and trying to wait for somebody to come forward.
Well, I think it's probably both, to be honest, isn't it? You know, they are adjusting to a new system and, you know, there's new personnel on the pitch, aren't there? I mean, I do want to also just go back and, you know, point out how good that long ball that Ward put in for the Edouard chance was. Yeah. I had to rewatch that to check who it was who put it in, because I thought that wasn't Joel Ward, was it? And it wasn't. It landed perfectly for him. You know, it's just such a shame that it was that bad touch. But yeah, going back to what you actually asked me about, which was the about the Jordan Ayew chance. Yeah, I mean, everyone wanted him to pass it, and I'm mystified that was his choice in this particular situation. But then, you know, when an opportunity like that comes up, and you know the temptation to go for glory is always going to be there, isn't it? And that's what he did on this occasion. He's pulled it off for us a few times, so you know I can't blame him for that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not somebody that you associate with being particularly selfish, is he? Let's be honest. Let's talk about the Edouard chances then. I think the one you're just talking about there from Ward. It's so instinctive that it's hard to criticise, isn't it? I'm not sure anyone is going to put that in 9 times out of 10.
It's just a heavy first touch, and you know that is going to happen, especially if you've got a substitute and it's pretty much his first touch, which it was. So you know,
well, I mean, his first touch so far in his career has been pretty amazing.
Yeah, but then if he'd been on for another couple of minutes before that ball came in, you know, maybe he'd already have got a feel for how to do it. Anyway, you know, it's just one of those things. It was poor luck rather than poor quality, as he's shown already.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that he was fouled three times in the box, Nick, I mean, he's clearly angry by it. Do you think he had another very promising game?
Yeah, I think he did. The future's looking bright with Edouard. he's very different to Benteke and what he offers, but he does seem to want to go for goal more directly. And, yeah, everything about him was positive. And you can see the runs. I mean, the way he ghosted in to get the ball off Ward just disappeared from Liverpool players' radars, like Liverpool players disappeared off Gyro's radar on set pieces. It was good.
Yeah, so, I mean, that brings us on to the defending. And I would say, watching it from the TV, and I never quite trust opinions of watching it on the box compared with seeing it from a decent height at the stadium. I thought the defending was really decent. And obviously it was at set pieces we suffered. But more than that, it was on the rebound, on the second touch. Obviously that's when Mane scored. And if that's the only time that there's any space, you know, most of the teams in the Premier League are not going to put three past us. So I thought Guaita had a great game, and you know, it was him tipping the ball out that led to the first goal. I don't think there was a lot could be said against the defending. Gyro's got a bit of stick, but seems to me that he lost his man is a bit harsh.
Yeah, I suppose there's interesting conversations to be had about whether Guaita should be trying to catch the ball rather than tipping it out, because you get a feeling that Liverpool players were onto that. I know it's a kind of more of a Spanish thing for the goalkeepers to palm the ball away rather than try and catch it. And it's something that's been happening in recent years in the Premier League. So it seemed that the Liverpool players were quicker on to where the ball would be going to if the keeper made a save, if that makes sense. Perhaps it's down to the defence to be on that a bit more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the thing I'd say about that is that we know who our goalkeeper is and what he's like. So our defence ought to be making sure that they are ready for that rebound, because they know it's going to happen, because he's not going to catch the ball. He will push it out or tip it wide. And if it goes back into play, you can rest assured that Liverpool will be ready for it. And someone like Salah is so quick. Gyro's quick as well. He just was ball watching. And yeah, so I do think he's at fault for that. It's unfortunate, and it's not, I don't like saying that, but it is true. I think he was responsible, and it was his man. And you know, he wasn't alert to it.
Well, they had 25 shots, and I'd hazard a guess that a lot of those were on target. They were fairly wasteful, and I know Palace were pushing for one back. But in all honesty, they could have been 2-0 up. And I thought Guaita had a decent game. WhoScored.com have got him an average of 7.2, which is very high for a goalkeeper that faced 25 shots. So I think other goalkeepers in the recent past are slightly taller than Guaita, for example. I could see us conceding more than three. Would you say he's at fault for the Naby Keita goal, or is it just an absolute master stroke of a shot? That was the point you left.
we weren't that desperate to beat the traffic on the way back. No, I mean, that was a screamer. It was unstoppable. He looked surprised to have scored it. You can see that on the highlights. He doesn't even celebrate. He just looks stunned. I don't think there was much that could have been done about that. That was just one of those once in a season things.
Yeah, let's hope it is once in a season and we don't get another wonder goal from Brighton Monday week. Monday. What was the name of the annoying French guy that scored in the 2-1 win against us a couple of seasons ago? That they had at Selhurst. Some twat, anyway. So, I mean, all in all, Palace had 13 shots, 40% possession, 7 shots from open play. I think probably could say that in against a lot of teams they would have got a point. Listening to Ward and listening to Vieira after the game on Palace TV, both of them basically said for several minutes it wasn't a 3-0 game, and we're not too disheartened. Is that how you guys see it?
Yeah, even Klopp said that in his post-match interview, didn't he? That he didn't think it was a 3-0. So when the opposition manager's saying that as well. Spoiled a little bit by the ref. You expect the ref to be one-sided at Anfield. I didn't think it would be that bad. I don't know how the Liverpool guy didn't get booked. Milner, his 7 or 8 fouls, he didn't even get a booking. I think even Vieira alluded to that at the end. Some of the 50-50 challenges went Liverpool's way. Like we said, with Edwards not getting the free kick. And especially the Benteke thing in the first half, which I only saw on Match of the Day, but he's definitely caught in the box there. And I don't know what VAR's meant to be doing, but it wasn't doing its job there. So, like I said earlier on, comparing that with the Chelsea game, we're still making a lot of progress. And I don't think many Palace fans were unhappy with how we performed. And, you know, it's the best I've felt after a 3-0. It's a strange thing to say, but we weren't
that
too downhearted.
That is a very strange thing to say. The best you felt after a 3-0 defeat.
Yeah, we weren't too downhearted because we gave it our all. And, to, you know, like you said, 13, 14 shots. We'd have never got that over the last 2 seasons. So at least we're giving it a go. And that's what we've been crying out for over the past few seasons, isn't it? Give it a go. If we lose, we lose. C'est la vie. But we're trying and we can't ask for more.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So let's finish our coverage of the game by asking you what you purchased for the drive home. What were you drinking?
I didn't. Well, I was drinking water because my car was at DR's house in Croydon, so I couldn't drink on the way home. Although I did have some nice brew dog that Chris bought us on the way up there, which was good. So thank you, Chris.
Chris, were you indulging for the full 10 hours?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, once we were an hour into the journey, I was definitely on the sauce. So yeah, I had a number of different brew dogs, some from the Brewdog Beer Club that I'm a member of, and then picked up some more when we were at the service station.
What were those? Poncy Marks and Spencer's rhubarb alcohol drinks you were drinking?
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
spilling the beans on that. What's all that about, you girl?
Well, sometimes, you know, you've got to kind of not just go with beer. You know, you've got to slow down and top up on spirits for a little bit. So M&S actually do some really good value. By the way, M&S, if you want to sponsor this podcast, then please get in touch. They do some really good value tins of gin and tonic. There's a pink gin and tonic. Oh, and actually, yeah, and Sainsbury's, they do an amazing £1.50 tin of gin and rose lemonade, and that's fantastic. So yeah, I highly recommend that. But yeah, I'm also now on M&S citrus pale ale, which I actually bought for the journey back but ended up not managing to quite finish. So but I can still recommend £2.80 drinks at Liverpool.
Right, this has turned into a slightly more middle-class version of Terence Hesketh and Albert discussing beers. Today, at the day of recording, is Albert's birthday. By the way, just quickly say, you can't. It's 2021. Don't say girls can't drink. Nick, come on. Come on now. Apologise, please.
I didn't say that girls can't drink. I was just Chris is like drinking rhubarb drinks. If you're going to drink a pudding-y drink, do what Terence does and get a Christmas pudding ale, not bloody rhubarb.
Having no taste in alcohol is not a gendered thing. Right. So let's just end the discussion by asking. Obviously, you said that the plus point is exactly what we've asked for in recent seasons, giving it a go. If there's one player you could say that was a shining light amongst some disappointment, Chris, who would yours be?
My outstanding player was Elise, who came on another little cameo role. He had a really impressive Maisy run that somehow didn't get into the highlights package. I was absolutely stunned at that. He looked really exciting, and I'd like to see him get a proper run out, maybe in Ayew's place, because I think he could terrify the right. You put him up against a slow fullback, and he could absolutely terrify them.
Agreed, and I'd like to see him come in the side before Eze is back, because I think it's going to be even harder for him to break in. Nick?
I'm going to go with Mitchell, but again, the defence looked assured. They didn't trouble us in open play. Anderson, again, just looks so relaxed on the ball. He's not troubled. He makes it look easy, so casual, but without losing control, if that makes sense. But But for the way he handled the winger there, Mitchell is definitely one to look forward to. He's improving week on week. But the whole of the back four really didn't put a foot wrong.
Incredible that you're bigging up the back four in a 3-0 defeat, but I kind of get what you're saying.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, there's a lot of listener reaction. So I'm gonna hit you with a few comments people have left us on social media. Gentlemen, I will start with Nick. I'll just ask for a quick sort of one-sentence reply to the comment, and then we'll go on to the next one. How does that work for you?
Yep, it does work well.
Good. So let's start with Darren Broadfoot. It's clear that the players believe in Vieira's plan and the way he wants us to play. It's somewhat alien for us at the moment, for us to be playing possession-based football. However, seeing us after this short period and how well we are playing, surely it can only get better. Thoughts? I would say it's going to be tough for it to get better than the Spurs game. But yes, Nick?
We are improving all the time. And I just think, yeah, I agree with Darren. I think it's going to get better. Especially against Brighton, who are riding high at the moment. I think we're going to sink them. But it's so much better than what we've been watching. So much better.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable.
From what I've heard, although Brighton beat Leicester, Leicester rule over them, and I'm yet to see the highlights of that, but I'm hoping that that's true. Chris, Luke Cooper would like us to discuss how the side never gave up and they kept on pressing even at the end.
Yeah, it was a really impressive performance. I mean, even as Nick has already said, Jurgen Klopp himself said this was the hardest fought 3-0 win they've had in a long time. You know, that Palace didn't give up. They absolutely played out of their skins. And against lesser opposition, that will be enough for us to get good results and the results we deserve. We just made a few mistakes and lost concentration on a couple too many occasions. But it was a really impressive performance overall.
Yeah, and I mean, lesser opposition is Brighton, isn't it? Andy the Twat, Elise and Edouard, surely definite starters. He's put defiant starters. I suppose that's relevant too, but definite starters against Brighton. I will answer that, and I'll say I think it's a little bit dodgy to play with the team too much in for a derby, but I would very happily see that be the case. Nick?
I'll add to that. It's good that Benteke kind of wears the defenders down a bit before Edouard comes on. But at least, I think he should get a shout over Ayew. Just to tell Ayew that he's not a definite starter, because when he was left out that game, he did really well the game he came back or came on as sub. So, you know, and he passed the ball more, Ayew, when he was left out, made sub. So, yeah. Just make every single player think they're not a definite starter. You've got to do that to get the best out of them.
Yeah, it's not like Elise wouldn't have had some high-pressured games when he was playing in the Championship last season. Leif Anderson's forehead. Now, I can't answer this because when we lose 3-0, there's no way I'm going to go back and watch Match of the Day. But he said, how biased were the Match of the Day highlights? It looked as though we were brushed aside, which is far from the truth. Then to top it off, they had a wank fest over James Milner, who got away with countless fouls after his yellow card. Excellent use of the word wank fest. Stephen Sheffield said, agree. Nothing mentioned on Match of the Day about Benteke getting tripped under the box, all the chances we created. But all James Milner just ran over 10k. Did anyone watch Match of the Day?
No, I didn't watch it.
No, yeah, unfortunately, people...
we got home after it finished.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I just don't tend to watch it when we've lost. And yeah, unless my son's really keen on, he keeps asking to watch Ronaldo, and that's the last thing I really want to do. Mark Cole, if YE's not scoring goals or assisting, is his work rate enough to deserve a starting 11 place each week? I think we've probably covered that. I'd say one word answer, Chris. Would you have IU in the starting 11 against Brighton?
No, I'd put Elise in.
Nick? No.
No.
Well, I think I probably wouldn't. The only argument would be that's a bit of a pressure cooker to put Elise in, but I don't, if not now, when? So, Dale Martin, and this is via the medium of Facebook. I am not on Facebook, so... I apologize for these people if they thought nobody was replying to them. I'm a huge fan of Gyro, and I think he could excel in our new way of playing. However, he really let himself down yesterday. Do you think those lapses in concentration will now hamper his career with us considering the competition for places? Okay, so I think I need to get both your opinions on this, because you're in the ground, and obviously it's very hard to see on the TV what he's doing off the ball. So quick sentence from each of you, please, Chris.
Well, he did let himself down on that particular incident of the goal, but he was hardly on the pitch. He was only on for about 15, 20 minutes. He didn't have enough time, and I'd want to see him playing a bit further forward and taking the opportunity to, you know, play a pass. And he was doing that and looking positive apart from that one mistake.
Yeah, that one mistake, he's going to learn from it, isn't he? He's not going to do it again. So, yeah, I concur with Chris there.
Okay, fair enough. Liam Talbot, losing playing the way we did was much better than drawing playing the way we did over the last 4 years. I mean, we lost 7-0 last year, so yes, agree. He wanted to bring up Milner's 8 yellow cards he didn't get as well. Definitely a theme across comments. Chris Chantry, do we need to learn to deal with awful reffing again with fans coming back, especially away to the big sides? So Andy Madley, I know somebody just put in the replies in Twitter, Andy Madley, ? Sorry, I cut your comment off, but whoever sent that, fair enough. Is it the crowd? Was it the crowd that got to them? On the TV, Anfield did sound louder than it usually does. However, when I've been there, it can be quite quiet when they're not on the front foot. So was it just because they'd scored a couple?
Yeah, when we were walking to the ground, we could barely hear it, could we, Chris? I was very surprised. My son was really surprised at the lack of atmosphere. Fair play to him, though. His comment on the way out was, at least I've been to Anfield more times than most Liverpool fans now, which I thought was very funny and very astute. No, they were very quiet. I heard them sing about 6 times after they scored, and at the end, that was about it.
So the ref can't use that as an excuse then? I mean, Chris, nothing to do with the fans at all?
Oh, he absolutely bottled it. You've got to bear in mind, I mean, I think it was only his second Premier League game. And we've got history with referees called Madley.
I was going to say, is he related to the dog fanatic? Or?
Yeah, I don't think he's related to the dog fanatic, but you could tell he doesn't like eagles.
Nice. That's an excellent segue. And then Daniel Edwards, let's finish it off there. Can you please tell me why we never have a defender on the back post when defending corners? Because if we had, we'd have stopped all 3 goals. Oh, it's been a bugbear in the past. Nick, what's your thoughts?
Well, if the defender's on the back post, then they're not marking somebody else. So perhaps that's what it is. They're marking rather than, you know, marking a player rather than marking an area. Who knows? I don't know.
There's clearly still scope for learning lessons from the mistakes from this game. And the reality, as I think Daniel's actually hit a nail on the head there, having someone on the back post would have stopped at least 2 of those goals. So absolutely, I hope that Vieira's listening and will make that adjustment next week.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not. that brings up something I wanted to quickly touch on then. I can't tell if we move between man-to-man and zonal marking. Because if we're sticking to man-to-man for set pieces, then there absolutely wouldn't be someone on the post. And it seemed like we were. But he seems to move between the two. And I haven't quite established yet, what is it you think he tends to do from set pieces with the back four?
Well, it's kind of the back four that haven't been at fault on the set pieces, really, isn't it? It's the back four are watching their other players. It's the midfielders that are coming back to help, I think, more than the back four.
And they're not zonal. Were they against Liverpool? Did they seem like they were zonal?
No, they seem to be mano a mano on the set pieces, which is perhaps why, I don't know, who was on Mane.
It looked like Jairo had Salah as his person. And, you know, he's a couple of yards away from him, which is all Salah needs. There'd be other strikers who, you know, given that tiny slither of space, probably wouldn't do much with it. But yeah, it's something to definitely look at. I think Vieira's nuances for defending, you're right, he's definitely developing them, but they are complex.
The telling part is how quickly Jairo put his hands on his head when he scored. He knew that he was in the wrong there straight away.
Well, it's because he's absolutely pure Palace. Yes, any last comments from either of you before we wrap up then? Chris?
Bring on the Brighton.
Yes, fair enough. 8 o'clock start. So Selhurst under lights. Exciting times. It will be just about dark by then now, won't it? Nick, anything else to add to this before we wrap up?
The project is still going very, very well. We lost 3-0. It wasn't deserved. We played well. The only negatives is the free kicks. But open play, we're looking really, really, really good. And I can't wait for the rest of the season. Really can't. It's the most excited I've been about a Palace team for, well, since Matt Ryan Schumach joined. So what can I say?
Yeah, and I just want to end mentioning Zahar's incredible comments saying that we are the only fans that would back him, whatever, back a player, whatever. And he seems to be on absolutely top form mentally at the moment. So yeah, let's leave it there. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everyone who got in touch. And whether we use your message or not, it really helps plan the show each week. This was quite a liquid show, so definitely thank you for sending us stuff. It meant you didn't have to listen to us diving into specifics of a game that we don't really need to look over again. Like, follow, subscribe on all our social accounts, especially our YouTube channel, where you can get all the live reactions to matches and much more. DR, Patrick and others are doing a sterling job with the match reaction. Catch them straight after the games when they're either angry or overly happy or somewhere in between. It's going from strength to strength. If you want to get involved as well, feel free to get in touch with us. You can always send us a message by sliding into those DMs. So we will be back to go over the Brighton game at some point in the week. Obviously, it's a Monday game, so it messes with the schedule a little bit. But you've got Terence and Co before that talking about more shitty beers. So until next time, come on, you Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.